Welcome to the Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast, where today we will be listening to this week's sermon by Pastor Brent Russell.
If you want to follow along in your Bibles, we're going to be taking a look at that passage, John chapter 1. I love Christmas time. Wonderful time of year. I understand that last night's warming station here, there were a pile of people through, people doing, drinking hot chocolate, getting warmed up, eating cookies, doing crafts. And I want to thank especially Patsy, who did yeoman's work on that, and the other people who volunteered and cooked for that. Thank you. It was a great outreach, as I understand it. So I am excited about that. True story. There was this couple who lived in Richmond, California, and they had a little bit of extra disposable income, and they thought, you know, we're not boaters, but we would really like to be boaters. And so they had some money, so they said, well, let's go out. And so they went out and they bought a Bayliner, a really nice boat. It had a large engine on it, and they took it to a lake west of their town, and they put it in the water. And they get out, and the thing is just plowing through the water. They'd read the owner's manual, said when you give it the gas, it should come up on plane and scoot across the water, but it was plowing through the water. They couldn't figure it out. They didn't know what was wrong, so they pulled it into the dock of the marina and said, yeah, we just bought this boat. Can you check it out? And so they did, and they checked out the motor, and that was working. They checked out the ignition. That was working. One guy got the idea, well, maybe there's something on the bottom. So the guy dives underneath the boat, and he comes up sputtering and laughing. Says the trailer's still attached. You know, sometimes there's more going on underneath the surface than you can see. Sometimes you have to look under the surface to get what's really going on. It's that way with Christmas. We hear the lovely story. We see the teenage girl who became pregnant, even though she was a virgin. We hear the story of Bethlehem and the angels and the choir of angels and the shepherds, and we hear all about those things. And all those things are amazing in and of themselves. There's a lot more going on under the surface than you might see at first blush. If you miss what's going on, you may miss what God wants to communicate to you. We all know that the best place to start a story is at the beginning. The beginning of the story of Jesus is not Bethlehem. It was not shepherds and wise men. It wasn't the announcement of the angel Gabriel. The story begins in the heart of God. So I would like you to come with me on this journey into the heart of God and Scripture and look at Jesus' birth from heaven's perspective. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The beginning of the story of Jesus was not Bethlehem. The beginning of the story of Jesus started before the world began. Jesus was there at the beginning of time. He was with God in the beginning, is what how John puts it. It, in fact, this word that John talks about was not only God, but verse 1 says that he was not only with God, but verse 1 says he was God. And just in case we're missing who this word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, in case we're missing who this Word was, John chapter 1, verse 14 reads this: the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John was talking about Jesus. I love how Eugene Peterson puts it in his translation of the Message. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into our neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. The Word became flesh and blood. The Word became human and lived among us. John, in his gospel, goes on to introduce us to this human, this person. His name is Jesus. Let me take you back to verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was Jesus. Jesus was with God. Jesus was God. Jesus was with God in the beginning. Through Jesus, all things were made. There's a lot going on underneath the surface of this Christmas story. For all you hear about reincarnation in our popular culture, Jesus was the only person to ever exist before he was born. He did not exist as a human. He existed as part of the Godhead. He existed as part of the Trinity. The way that John puts it is he existed as the Word. The Greek word for word, the word word, is logos. Now, when I say a word, you possibly think of a word on a written page. Maybe you think of a word made up of letters. But when the Greeks talked about logos, they were talking about the idea or the concept behind the word. So to a Greek, if I was to say the logos tractor, now of course they didn't have tractors, but if I said to you tractor, and you were to interpret it through logos, you would not be talking about tractor spelled out T-R-A-C-T-O-R. You would be talking about the piece of machinery in all models and all makes that were ever made that were to pull farm implements with an engine in them. When I say the word tractor, I'm not talking about words on a page. I'm talking about everything that word stands for. You with me so far? Now look at verse 3 again. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. The Logos encompasses all that was made. Jesus embodies the existence itself. Let me give you one more kind of mind-bending thought and before I pull this all together. God has never had a new thought. Now, to say that of somebody else would be to insult them. But God, being God, knows everything. God never says, oh, I just thought this up, because that would mean the moment before he thought it up that he didn't know everything. There's nothing that God does not know. So when God speaks, he's not speaking out of his mind thinking something up. He's speaking out of his essence. He creates out of his essence. And that's why when he says, let there be light, there is light. He speaks out of who he is. His essence, that essence itself, is Jesus. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Before everything was, there was God. God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God spoke. This, by the way, does not contradict with scientific theory. People talk about the Big Bangs. I think when God spoke, there was a pretty big bang. Whenever you have creation, you always have a creator. Whenever you have an effect, there is always a cause. If I was walking through the forest and I saw you know, a rock out of place or a tree falling down. I say, oh, well, that's an accident. Maybe there was a windstorm or something came through here. If I'm walking through that same forest and I come upon a cell phone, I don't say, oh, there's an accident. Something must have happened that all those pizzas dropped into place to make that phone, right? No, when you see something designed like a cell phone, you know there must be a designer. You see, I just don't have enough faith to be an atheist. I don't. It takes more faith to believe that something came out of nothing than to believe that creation was made by a creator. It's a lot more faith. Things just don't come out of nothing. John is saying there was a creator, and he spoke out of his very essence, the essence of Jesus, and through him all things were made. Now come with me to verse 14 again. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. I don't know what it's like to be God, but I do know what it's like to be human. Being human in a fallen world is messy. We live with insecurities and we fight temptation and we navigate relationships, some of which are great and some of which are hard. We deal with bodies that are fragile and minds that are sometimes problematic. We live in a world where there are sometimes huge cataclysms, fire, floods, storms that wreak havoc on our world. And then there's the smaller personal cataclysms that seem to come to each one of us. Theft, pain, navigating relationships that have gone sideways. And the stuff that comes our way can be hard and challenging, and sometimes even devastating. It is into that world, the one who was and is God, the Logos of God, the one who is the essence of God, says he became flesh and blood, and he moved into our neighborhood. A neighborhood that has both good and mess. A place that is sinful and longs for something more. Here's how the Apostle Paul describes it. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, Jesus was God, he did not think equality with God something to cling to be held on to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took on the humble position of a slave and was born of a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Though Jesus was God, he did not cling to the privileges of being God. It says he gave up his divine privileges. As God, Jesus was not limited to time and space, but he gave up and entered into time and space. He came to a particular time and a particular space. As God, Jesus had unlimited resources. He became human and experienced hunger and thirst, emotional and physical pain. He came from the splendor of heaven, and there were times when he was homeless. The first Christmas from our vantage point was, well, it was unusual. Angels normally don't appear in the skies. Angelic choirs normally don't sing. Virgins don't usually conceive and have children. Wise men usually don't ring the doorbell and bring gifts. From our vantage point, the Christmas story is unusual. But from the vantage point of heaven, it's incredible. For all of heaven is centered around the throne of God, and the Son, begotten out of the essence of the Father, is at the center of the universe. And he condescends. He descends and doesn't see his divinity something to be clinged to, but gave up his divine privileges. And the Son, begotten out of the essence of the Father, left the center of the universe to be born into an uncomfortable, sometimes heartbreaking, sometimes painful world. Can you glimpse beneath the surface? There's a lot going on there. I was talking to somebody a little while back, and they told me that they had been demoted at work. And so I said, well, tell me a little bit more about that. Well, they gave me a 6% raise, but I'm not supervising anybody anymore. That's not really a demotion. Jesus moving from heaven to earth, now that's a demotion. That's a real demotion. And maybe if you can imagine that demotion that he experienced, that you can kind of see what's going on. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son out of his very essence, and whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The very essence of God, the Logos of God, became flesh and blood because of love. He gave up his divine privilege, for God so loved the world because of love. And he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. God knows everything. God knows how you feel. He knows your joys. He knows your sorrows. He knows what pain feels like. But the fact that God became human, he really wanted to get that message across. He wants you to know that he knows what it feels like to be human. He knows what it's like to eke out a living as a carpenter. He knows what it's like to balance service and the bottom line. He knows what it's like to feel the exhaustion of labor. He knows what it's like to feel the pain of a stubbed toe and the grief of a lost friend. He knows what it's like to watch his friends be hurt and confused and yet unable to understand. The fact that God became human sends us a message. He wants you to know that he knows what you're going through. God knows what you're going through. For those of you who are grieving family members who don't have faith, Jesus knows what you're going through. He understands. For those of you who are feeling the stress of work, Jesus knows, and he cares. For those of you who face an uncertain future, or even worse, a future with pain, Jesus has been there. He knows, and he cares, and he understands. Our God is not a God who stands afar off, uncaring. Our God is one who has been involved and is involved and wants you to know that he is involved, and he walks with you through what it means to experience difficult times here on this earth. For those of you who face temptation, Our God has been there before. For those of you who face the temptation of compromising your integrity at the altar of gain, Jesus has been there. He knows the pull. He has felt the struggle. He has overcome. And he can help you to overcome. For those of you who face sexual temptation, I want you to know that our God became human. And that means that he experienced sexual attraction. Yet he was without sin. Our God can relate to the struggle that you feel. He can relate to the temptation you face. He overcame. He can help you overcome. For those of you who find yourself in the middle of conflict, find yourself where it just seems that, yeah, there's conflict all around me. Jesus gets it. There's times when he was with his disciples that he felt that he should be wearing a striped shirt with a whistle. There are other times when he was in direct conflict with the religious leaders of the day. Jesus knows conflict, and he knows how you feel. I want you to know that God, being God, knows what you're going through. But Jesus, being God, lets you know that God knows. And I know that some of you have been praying forever about something. You've been coming to God in prayer and saying, God, help. Or God, heal. Or God, deliver. Or God, strengthen. Or God, be present. God, I'm confused. I'm depressed. I'm hurting. God, I'm struggling. I'm doubting. God, I don't even know what to pray for. I want you to know that God hears. And he knows. And he understands. He gets it. Sometimes when we're going through struggles like that, we think that, well, maybe this is all there is to life. But I want you to know that God wants you to take you past the place of hurting. God wants to take you past the place where your life is focused on your pain. God wants to take you past the place where you are confused and doubting and uncertain. Listen to the words of John, John chapter 1, verse 16. Here's what it says. From the abundance, from his abundance, we have seen, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one who is himself God is near to the Father's heart. He's revealed God to us. Let me take you to one more verse. John chapter 1, verse 18. From the, it says that out of his abundance, he gives his blessing. Jesus came to make God known. He revealed God to us. There's no way that you can know God apart from Jesus Christ. But the good news is you can know God because Jesus came. And knowing God makes all the difference in the world. Knowing God brings an eternal perspective to the things and brings to light what is important and what is not. When you know God, you get a sense of what's important. Knowing God brings meaning to our time spent on earth. Life is more than going to work and going home, getting a meal, watching TV, going to bed. Knowing God allows us to find purpose and meaning in our life. Our life has meaning and our life is going someplace because our destiny is with Jesus. Knowing God means avoiding many of the minefields that life brings. God knows life. He created life. He understands how life works. And when you follow God's ways, you're able to miss a number of the minefields in this life. When you follow God's principles on relationships, on finances, on living, we often find that we're spared some things. Knowing God brings an internal sense of peace and joy, and we have lit the candles of peace and joy. For when we live in harmony with our Maker, it seems we have a sense that God is in us and with us, and His Spirit produces this fruit of peace and joy. But you have a part in all this. Here's your part. John chapter 1 says this: He came to that which is His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the power and the right to become the children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born out of God. Will you receive Him? For those of you who have never asked Christ into your life, I would encourage you, put your trust in Him. Say, Lord Jesus, I receive You into my life. I'm going to follow You. I'm going to trust You. I want Your peace and Your hope. For those of you who have asked Jesus into your life, will you receive Him into the places of pain and into the places of messiness? And into the places of hurt, and into the places of confusion and fear and doubt? Will you receive Him into the places of brokenness and grief? See, if you can remember when to invite Jesus into those kind of places, He has a way and says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and have fellowship with Him. Have fellowship with her. If you open your door of your heart into those places of pain, Jesus will walk right up to them. And He'll say, I've got this. Put your hand in mine. We can face your fear. We can face your confusion. We can face your hurt. We can face your desperation together. And I want to heal some of that. And I want to give you the strength to bear other of that. I am with you. I am near you. You've received me. I'm in you. Jesus loves you. The Christmas season, we look into a manger and we look for the story of Christmas, but there's a lot going on underneath the surface. One of the things that's going on is that God wants you to know that He knows what it's like to be in your shoes. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You for Your word that reminds us of who You are. You took such a demotion. Although being in very nature God, You did not cling to the divine privileges of being God. But You emptied Yourself and took on the form of a servant. Lord Jesus, You came into this messy, sometimes wonderful, sometimes very painful world. You meet us right where we're at. Lord, for those who are here who have never received You into their life, I pray that they would invite You, reach out to You. And Lord, I know You. As they reach out to You, You'll reach out to them. Pray for those who do know You, but they've been hiding or they've not connected You with their pain so that You could walk them through it. I pray, Lord, that You would walk into those dark places and bring Your light. this Christmas, Lord, I pray once again that you will proclaim in our hearts, let there be light. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week on Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast. Make sure to visit our website at asburyfmperth.com, where you can subscribe and never miss a show. If you'd like this broadcast, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Asbury Free Methodist Church. Until next week, take care and God bless.